Welcome to Stout for Christ, a radio ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church in Parkersburg, West Virginia, with our host, Sarah Sisson.
I'm Sarah Sisson, host of Stout for Christ, and we're glad you're listening to our radio show today. Stout for Christ is a ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church located at 3329 Broad Street in Parkersburg, West Virginia. We invite you to become a member of our Stout Church family. We offer two worship services each Sunday, a contemporary worship service at 8:45 and a traditional worship just following this broadcast at 10:45. If you can't join us in person, our services are broadcast live on Facebook and YouTube. Stout for Christ is a ministry meant to help us navigate life and learn more about God's love for all people. Today our topic is Festival of the Christian Home, and here to help us learn more about this subject is Pastor Helen Oates. Welcome, Helen.
Thank you, Sarah. You know, oftentimes we don't hear that phrase, Festival of the Christian Home, associated with Mother's Day, but at least on the church calendar, both names are listed, and this morning on Mother's Day, I just wanted us to not only talk about Mother's Day for a bit, but also to bring in what that Festival of the Christian Home is all about. So, but, you know, we who live in West Virginia know about Mother's Day. We know that the shrine is in Grafton, West Virginia, and that Anna Jarvis was the one who honored her mother by putting together a worship service in the St. Andrew's Methodist Church there in Grafton. Did I say St. Andrew's? Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
You did. Uh-huh.
Okay. So it's interesting that occurred on May the 10th in 1908. And I thought, well, here we are coming around again to another May the 10th. So 118 years that Mother's Day has been celebrated. And it was that Anna Jarvis's mother died just a couple years before a service was held, but she died in 1905.
Hard to believe that it's been 118 years.
It is. It is. And, you know, the community there at Grafton, you know, everyone gets decorated up in May, you know, as a way to try to encourage people to come by to visit the shrine. And it is a way in which, you know, we see what the effect of one person can do. And when we think about Anna Jarvis and how she was connected to a businessman in Pennsylvania, and together, he began to help her figure out how to work things within the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate in order to have the day set aside as a special day for mothers. And so it was, Mother's Day was, of course, since it happened in West Virginia, was first recognized as an official event in 1910. But then it was in 1913 and 1914 that the House of Representatives and the Congress then had the days as official, not only in our United States, but also internationally as well. And it was President Woodrow Wilson who issued a proclamation declaring that the first National Mother's Day as a day for American citizens to show the flag in honor of those mothers whose sons had died in the war. And so, you know, he brought that into connection with, those mothers who grieved over the loss of their sons. And I remember as just a young child, going with my mom to a neighbor's house, and they were quilting, and I was underneath the quilt rack, so on the floor underneath, pretending I was hiding out or whatever. So I must have been 4 or 5 years old. It was preschool, so it was, you know, I wasn't in first grade or anything. And at that time, they didn't have kindergarten. So, but I can remember being underneath there and listening to them talk and listening to them share the stories of who they knew. At this time, they were dealing with the beginnings of the Vietnam War, and so it was a way of hearing. And then once they got a section of the quilt done or whatever they wanted to get done, then they would bring out these cardboard boxes and would pull out like 2-inch pieces of cotton cloth and would cut those and would roll them, so for them to be used as bandages in for the war effort. So, you know, to think about how our mothers or grandmothers or those maternal figures for us, how they became engaged in the community in terms of wanting to help. To make the community better.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's been 118 years of Mother's Day, but we all now kind of recognize this as another Hallmark holiday, and it's kind of gone on to be Mother's Day and Father's Day and Grandparents' Day and so on. So
yeah. And, you know, Sarah, that Anna Jarvis must have been a character because it became so commercialized, because it became filled with greeting cards and flowers and chocolate and every such else, Anna Jarvis turned around and worked against the holiday, you know, because she wanted people not to send a card, but to send a letter, you know, spend some time in thought in terms of what you want to write to your mother or grandmother or whomever, and, you know, let it be something that becomes meaningful, not just a card you sign your name to and you pass it on to the individual. So she did have a difficult time with all of the commercialization, with all of the decoration, and how it seemed for her that they moved away from the original intent or her original intent. But others say because it got so greatly commercialized, you know, greeting cards, you can just imagine florists, the chocolate makers, I mean, you know, how it had a ripple effect into many different business arenas and going out for dinner or going out for lunch, that Sunday lunch of Mother's Day, that because of the commercialization, It was then something that stuck, you know, that stuck with the American people that wanted to be able to have this as a celebration. You know, along that time frame, there was also an effort to get a Children's Day kicked off, and we don't have that on the calendar any place or any longer a Temperance Sunday. But so those were things that didn't make it. And even when you say Grandparents' Day, I don't know that I've actually seen that on a calendar or at least on the calendar that I carry around all the time. But how that commercialization helped us to keep for 118 years to keep Mother's Day going.
Yeah, Mother's Day was started in the Methodist Church, but as we know in the Bible, there are plenty of mothers and examples of that. Mary probably being the most prominent, right?
Yes.
But there are also women who yearn to be mothers.
Right. And that's what, you know, I've had over my years of ministry, I've had women tell me, you know, I'm not going to be at church on Mother's Day because I miss my mom so much. And it just makes it harder to be at church on that Sunday. And so, you know, we find that whether we're still dealing with grief, but, you know, even in the scripture, as you mentioned, you know, Sarah and Abraham, Sarah couldn't conceive. And then, you know, there was finally Isaac was born. And then we find in his generation, his you know, he is has difficulty because he and married to Rebecca, they have twin sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob's wife has difficulty. In fact, Jacob's father-in-law was pretty much a trickster, and Jacob had to work 7 years thinking he was going to be able to marry the favorite sister, Rachel, but ended up with the elder sister, Leah, and certainly they had children, but then after another 7 years of working for Laban, his father-in-law, he finally got to marry Rachel. And even then, you know, Rachel had difficulty conceiving. So, you know, this sense that women have in terms of infertility and whether being able to bear a child is seen as something very important, and if you're not able to get pregnant, whether it's a, you know, the hand of God against you kind of thing, which a number of the women in Scripture felt, you know, if they weren't able to conceive, that God was not pleased with them in some way. But we don't, we don't take that, you know, because we in turn have all kind of medical ways to try to get someone pregnant. I know when my husband and I were trying to get pregnant, the first advice I had was put him in boxer shorts. And so, you know, did that for a while. But, well, he stayed in boxers all his life. But anyway, but it was, it didn't seem to take, as we might say. And so, you know, trying the medical route, and that didn't seem to take either. So it was just by, we could say coincidence, but, you know, how God works, and we call it coincidence, but I had one child through adoption. I had a second child through foster care that we were hoping to adopt, and I thought my family was done. I had one in each hand, and then Paul and I got surprised with the third one. But yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of agonizing that goes on. And, you know, oftentimes women, whether there are miscarriages that occur, women aren't given the space to grieve in those situations. You know, what it means to suddenly, when you think you might be pregnant, then have the menstrual cycle start. You know, it just, it crushes. And in those times, you know, women need people that they can talk with, you know, just to be able to talk their way through. And that's, you know, that's how we find ourselves as, you know, part of the church. We then have a community that gathers around us if we allow that ourselves.
Absolutely. So earlier we talked about, Mother's Day, but what is this Festival of the Christian Home?
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes when we think Festival of the Christian Home, we go to the very rigid sense and think, well, you know, we got to be reading scripture in front of our kids and teaching them Bible stories and having prayer two times a day, or, you know, we try to formalize that. But for us to see that this Festival of the Christian Home is just a way to lift up the home as a center of love, nurture, and faith, that is the beginning place where we begin to develop our faith. I can remember as a young child, my bedroom had two windows. One faced the east and the other faced the west. So I would peer out my window and watch the moon and pray. And as the sun rose, you know, share the same kind of thing. But, you know, our home, it wasn't so much that, you know, we had that time of formal prayer or Bible reading, but it was a home where everyone was respected. It was a home where, we talked with one another. We held trust with one another. And through my parents, learned how to care for other people as well. So our Festival of the Christian Home is to lift up what the home can provide. And we know today that many of our children don't have that kind of home setting. So how we begin to teach moral behavior, how we begin to teach thinking around involving others considering the situation that other people are in. I am amazed sometimes at my five-year-old granddaughter who, whether it's we're going around McDonald's close to the light on Grand Central Avenue where you cross Emerson, but how she wants to help out the person that usually sits there on that corner, or others. But it's a way of her having learned how to care, at least one way of how to care for someone else. And you know, on this day that we call Mother's Day, we have to remember that there are lots of women who have chosen not to have children, women who are single and therefore, you know, don't have children. And so that we need to remember that that Mother's Day is more about not how many children we've given birth to, but rather how many children we've nurtured in a very special way. Nurtured them to be whole and complete. And, those children that we hope will grow up to be contributing members of our society. So it begins there in the home, and that's why the church claims it as Festival of the Christian Home. And when it's not available, I remember one time in another appointment where a grandson was saying that his friend had to stay outside in a close park, little park where his family lived. He said he had to stay outside on a picnic table until his parents would come home. And sometimes that would mean it would be 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And he might have been finished playing with Philip around 8 o'clock or 7:30 when we brought Philip in. And that little boy would sit there on that picnic table for a couple hours waiting for his parents to get home. So, yeah, we need to be aware as a community how we can help, how we can reach out and help others in their parenting role too as times. It's not just about giving birth, but it's about nurturing the children around us. You know, they say it does take a village.
It absolutely does. Well, thank you, Helen. That was a great discussion. And I know that there is someone listening today whose life is touched by your wise words of hope in Christ and love for us all. Speaking of kids, we do have a VBS coming up, right?
Yes, we do. And VBS stands for Vacation Bible School. And this year, we are having our Vacation Bible School on in the evenings on a Friday evening and Saturday evening, and then the Sunday morning, but using the weekend of June the 12th, 13th, and Sunday the 14th. But gathering like at 6 or 6 o'clock in the evening and going till 8 or 8:30, and just being able to have a fun time. You know, our goal is to even, you know, we're talking about outer space. And so with all the Armatist experiences that we had with the the rocket that sent the astronauts into the orbit. But to be able to think how, you know, God, creator of the whole universe, and our part within that part of God's creation. So, we're going to have a grand time. And it was fun the other evening to take a listen to some of the adults planning and hearing their laughter and the books that they received to be the storytellers, or just the way in which it involves a lot of people, you know, a lot of people.
We might have gotten a little carried away at that meeting, but as Helen mentioned, everybody is welcome. You can bring those kids by. You don't have to have a connection to the church. They're more than welcome, and it's totally free, so there's no charge to be there.
That's right. And the age level of the children, I think they're beginning with two or three-year-olds all the way up to sixth grade. So if you have a child or grandchild in that age range, please bring them by 3329 Broad Street.
Yes. Thank you, Helen, and happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you.
If you were blessed by this program today and want to know more about how you can become part of the Stout Memorial United Methodist family, tune in to Stout Memorial's Facebook Live worship broadcast just after this program at 10:45 a.m. Send an email to stoutmemorial@gmail.com or attend a worship service in person at 8:45 and 10:45 each Sunday morning. This has been Stout for Christ, a radio ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church, Parkersburg, West Virginia.